You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. Today's message comes from Senior Pastor Graham Nelson. We pray that it encourages you in your faith journey.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord God, for just what you're doing. And again, Lord, just as much as we've already prayed for the young adults, the young people, Lord God, Lord, I pray that you would just move through them this morning as Nick speaks to them, Lord God, as they continue to hear your word, that, Father, not only are you speaking to us, but you're speaking to them. And, Lord God, we think of the year to come. We think of just the way that you're preparing them for the year to come. Lord God, I pray that you would continue to give them divine appointments with you. We think of those that would be new at camp for the first time, whether they be the New Year Sevens for this year, whether they be new just in church, or whether they be new, Lord, because they've been invited for their friends. Father, I pray that you would just minister into them. Lord, I still think back to that miracle that we heard last year after the testimony of camp, that miracle of healing. We just pray that you would continue to do miracles in their lives. So, Lord God, we just give you thanks for what you're doing right now, in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. So over the break, I've read a couple of books, and not just cartoons or comic books or even colouring books, but real books with words in them. And one of them left me with an interesting challenge for the year, which I'm going to pass on to you, because it's no good challenging me if I don't pass it on to you. And I think it's a challenge that, you know, it's not really any new challenge. It's a challenge that probably happens to me every year as I inquire of God and seek God and do an audit of my life. But it's a challenge that in a way sounds very simple. Thanks very much. But in reality, it isn't a simple challenge. And the reason for that is that it goes against our default. Our default, which is self on the throne. Our default, which is obviously to do our own will and not God's will. And so the challenge that I want to lay at your feet and that God has laid at my feet is walking in the ways of the Lord. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you." I'm going to give you a lot of scripture this morning. Again, it's a simple word. In a way, simple because we all know it, but it's not that simple to do. And that's why I want you to listen to the scriptures and see the scriptures, because I want it to be God's word that challenges you. Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." It's obvious that we all know that God wants us to seek him first so that we might know what he wants us to do. As I said, it sounds easy when it's said. However, it's one thing to know God's ways. It's a very different thing to walk in his ways. There are two levels to knowing God. The first level is that we can know him by past experiences, by what he's done before, the miracles he's done or the things he's done in our lives. And again, we call those testimonies or memorial stones. Fantastic things. Things that are very, very important for shaping us. But on the same token, God wants us, in a way, the Bible says, to wipe the dust off our feet and to move forward. And then the second way that we can know him or be aware of him is by understanding his nature and by understanding his ways. If we walk according to past experiences, we often end up creating an Ishmael. Now, I've used that term often, and I said it once to somebody, and they said, "What do you mean?" Creating an Ishmael literally takes us back to the Old Testament. When Sarah and Abraham wanted a baby, God gave them the promise that they were going to have a baby, Isaac. But again, because of their impatience and because of the way that they worked, they decided that they would help God to create a baby. And so Abraham slept with Hagar and Ishmael was born. And Ishmael is out of the line of where we get Islam today. A thorn in God's side, a thorn in our side. right from that time, because we created it, because it was done by man, not by God. And of course, we know that Isaac was a miracle baby and typical or a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we try and do things because we think that's the way God wants us to do it, using past experiences or using the things that we've done or done before or known before, then normally it will end up in an Ishmael, something that doesn't turn out that well, something that is really created by flesh. However, if we do it the second way, and that is by knowing God or by understanding his nature, then it often ends up that God will reveal a new work or activity that he wants us to do. And oftentimes, if not every time, it'll be different to the way he's done it before. I'm reminded of David when he was fighting the Philistines. In Chronicles, it tells us that he inquired of God as to what he was to do. And God gave him a battle plan on how to defeat the Philistines. And about 12 verses down in Chronicles, it says that the Philistines came back. Now, I've often thought that if it was me, I would just literally get out the plan that God gave me before. It worked the last time. This is what I'm going to do this time, and that's what I'm going to do. But the Bible says that David went back and he inquired of God again. Very important. He inquired of God again. And God gave him, believe it or not, exactly the opposite to do. Totally different to what he did before. And again, it's so important that we inquire of God. So important that we seek God's face. So important that we are asking God to show us his ways. God, being who he is, the gentleman that he is, has given us a choice. We can either live life without reference to him, or, as Jeremiah 6:16 puts it, stand by the road and look and ask where the good way is, walk in it and find rest for your souls. Or, as Isaiah 55:8 says, and again, a scripture that we know off by heart because it's probably quoted to us all the time, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your thoughts," or your ways, "and my thoughts than your thoughts." So a way leads to a destination. Go that way or go that way. And Deuteronomy 30:19 says that we have a choice regarding the way. And I want you to keep getting that, the way, or the destination we choose. I call this the T intersection scripture. We come to a T intersection. I've set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Therefore, choose life that you and your children may live. If we're going to walk in the way that God wants us to do, then we've got to make a choice. And part of that choice is seeking him to find out what that way is. Not always do we come to an intersection and it's already signposted for us. This is where we have to seek God. This is where we have to wait on God. This is where we have to inquire of God. God, which way do you want me to go? That way has always gone to life. But maybe it's this time that that way goes to life. To enjoy the promise of knowing that all will be well with our children and ourselves requires us then having an intimate understanding of the nature and the character of God. And then wanting to live our lives on a daily basis in obedience to the way that he shows us. Jeremiah 7:23 tells us how we can ensure the outcomes of our choices. It says, "But this command I give them, obey my voice and I'll be your God and you shall be my people. And walk in all the way that I command you, that it might be well with you." I hope you're getting the theme. Walking in the ways of the Lord. John the Baptist fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 40, verse 3, by being a voice of the new things to come, by preparing the way for the Lord. Not much different in regard to John the Baptist back in Jesus' time and us today. The church is preparing the way for Jesus' return. Jesus himself taught and modeled for us how to walk in the way of the Lord. In Mark 12, 14, it says, they came to him and said, "Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity, that you aren't swayed by men, because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the way in accordance with truth." That's why the early church, after Jesus' death, were known as the way, or could be interpreted the road. The way, or Jesus' followers back there, pointed to a new lifestyle, to paths to God as initiated and modeled by Jesus. They were seen by outsiders as a Jewish sect, yet, and they were led and often persecuted for it, but they were walking in the way as modeled by Jesus. Again, a challenge for us today, not only as us, a church in this building, but us, a church worldwide. The world is looking for the way. Searching, seeking, doing their own thing. But we are the example. And again, the church today, Christians today, are the most persecuted people group in all of the world. Because we're different. People think we're a sect. I was just thinking of Mr. Albanese and the new law or the new bill that he wanted to put through Parliament, which now won't go through, thank goodness, and just how damning and how ugly it is and would be used against us as Christians in regard to hate speech and everything else. You know, they're doing everything and anything. Satan is doing everything and anything, not Mr. Albanese. Satan is doing everything and anything to try and take Christ out of the world and take Christ out of the way we act. We are the way. We are the road that God is using to point people to Jesus, who, of course, points people to God himself. The way signified a way of life centered on following Jesus' teaching, distinct from mere law-driven, works-based religion. Jesus in John 14, 6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so the ways of God are far more than the acts of God. The ways of God are much deeper and much more impacting than resting on or trying to replicate previous deeds. The ways of God are intimately connected with his nature, his character, his behavior, all of which are on his terms and in his way, which often result in new experiences. And please don't think that I'm having a go at the old or the past, because the old or the past was the way back then. But we are not just to try and do the old or the past. We're to seek God now for the new way. Walk ye in it, the Bible says. And so we use the past, but it points us to the future, to do the things that God wants us to do. That was pointed out and made clear by Isaiah when he said that God's ways and God's thoughts are much higher than ours. We may not fully understand his ways. However, he really does want us to walk in them. We're not to limit him to the thoughts and the ways we think he should act. I'm very interested at the moment that we're being bombarded with AI. Everywhere AI. AI, 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 AI. Okay, you open up a Google internet search, you open up anything and immediately you are bombarded with an AI. You ask Google a question. You ask Google a question about the Bible and you'll get an AI response. How do we know whether that's true or not true? How do we know that where that is being populated from? Yet so many Christians are now being driven by AI. Yet that's not God's way. It might be a good tool, it might have a place, and I'm not saying it doesn't. But we have been given the best AI. He's called the Holy Spirit. And we are to be led by the Holy Spirit. We are to seek God. Holy Spirit's been given to us. Jesus said that it's better that he would go, that he would send the Spirit of truth to lead us in all ways, to help us say the things that we don't even know. And so my challenge, and the challenge for you guys, is to make certain that you don't let AI drive you or lead you or guide you. If it's a tool that you can use, well and good. But AI does not replace the Holy Spirit. We should be inquiring and seeking God for his perspective and the ways that he wants us to walk in. Psalm 81 says, "Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe towards him and their fate would last forever. But for us, those that seek God and seek his ways, who walk in his ways, it says that he would feed you with the finest of wheat and with honey from the rock, I would satisfy you." By walking in God's ways, by following God's ways, by seeking God's ways, God promises us that he will sustain us, that he will satisfy us. And I'll guarantee you again that the world looking on and a group of people, a church that is doing that, will see the blessing of God and will want it. And as Acts says, God will add to his church daily. You know, these are extraordinary promises. But as with most of God's promises, they are dependent or conditional on us adopting and learning to trust in God and to walk in his ways. So I repeat what I said at the start. God's children in the Old Testament had intimate knowledge of God's acts. They witnessed God's miracles. They witnessed his protection, as we do. And yet they were still told to walk in his ways, which God commanded them to do. God really wants us to know him, to know his ways, which can only come by having an intimate relationship with him, by seeking him with an undivided heart. God is inviting us, is challenging us to a different or to a higher way of thinking. As Paul says in Romans 12, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable and perfect." Or we could say, what is the good and acceptable and perfect way of the Lord? We are to determine our priorities. We are then to make our decisions and judgments through knowing his ways, which we will find in God's word, which we will find by inquiring and seeking of him first. Walking in the ways of the Lord on a daily basis removes anxiety, releases God's divine strategy, releases his direction, releases his protection, releases his provision on his terms, not ours, releases his overcoming in our lives, and of course, releases a new way, a way that we have never gone before. There are literally hundreds of references. Type in to your concordance or your Google search, the ways of the Lord. Look at all the scriptures that come up. Let me read to you, I'd like to read to you a few that I've chosen so that we'll appreciate how important it is for us to seek God's way in our daily walk. As I do this, remember God's ways are intimately connected to his nature. You'll see that they're connected to his character. And it's that nature and character that we are pursuing to walk in and to follow. Deuteronomy 30 says, read on the screen with me, he is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. In Psalm 25, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths or ways. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. In Psalm 25, he guides the humble. We need to be humble in seeking him. In what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of the covenant. Psalm 37, 34, wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he exalts you in you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. Psalm 128, verse 1, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. Fruitfulness, blessing, prosperity will be the result. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths or your ways straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Proverbs 10:29. The way of the Lord is a refuge for the righteous, but it is the ruin of those who do evil, because it violates his character. Isaiah 2, verse 3. Many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. Hosea 14. Who is wise? He will realize these things. Who is discerning? He will understand them. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. And the last one, Hebrews 3:10. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, as they have not known my ways. As I've already said and stated, there's a huge difference between observing God's past actions and understanding and seeking his ways going forward. Again, God's ways aren't ours. His thoughts are so much higher than ours. I remembered as I was putting this together, God's word to Joshua as they were about to cross over into Jordan, into the promised land. God told Joshua that they'd never been this way before. And he gave them a new prescription as to how he wanted them to walk. When they were traveling around the wilderness, they had the tabernacle. They had the cloud. They had the fire. They had manna. They had quail. They had water coming out of the rock. Their clothes didn't wear out. They had a cloud to cover them in the heat of the day. They had the fire at night to keep them warm. When they came to cross over into Jordan, all of that ceased. All of that stopped. All of a sudden, Joshua was told that the children of Israel behind the priests had to stay back, I think it was 1,000 cubits, it might have been 2,000 cubits. And instead of following a cloud or a fire, they were to follow the Ark of the Covenant that was being carried on those poles. This is a new way. You've never been that way before, God told him. As it is with us, we don't know what God wants to do tomorrow. We don't want to know what God wants to do in about, well, I can smell the sausages. He wants us to have some sausages. He wants us to have some sausages, but after that, we don't know what he wants us to do. This smelling, isn't it? It's starting to waft up. You can smell it. Get on with it, Graham. Quick, quick. We need to seek God. It's a different way. I think that if we're going to do and see what Jesus said, that we're going to see greater works than what he did, then we have to seek God to find out what he wants us to do. Now, I have a real sense in my spirit, and I felt it last year. I think it was in the last message that Andy might have spoken, but I really felt strongly that God wanted us to push in for healings and miracles this year. But again, not on our terms. God, how does that work? How do you want us to do it? What is it you want us to do? Or do we just go back and do the normal thing? And I'm not going to say what the normal things were because I don't want to stop that happening if that's what God shows us to do. And I believe that's going to be the case in so many areas of the life of this church this year, that God has got a new thing for us to do. But in doing that, we need to seek him. Not to do it as it was in times past, but to do it as now, because this is what God is showing us to do. Inquiring of God requires us spending time in his word, requires us spending time in his word and being sensitive to his voice, rather than the voice of opinion or AI or human reason or any other way. Psalm 20, verse 7, and I love this scripture. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. If our trust is in the Lord, then we need to know that he has the knowledge of the direction and the information that we require to walk in his ways. We are not to default to our own strength. We're not to default to an alternate source. We're not to default to, oh, that church is doing it, so it must be good. Look how quickly they're growing. We should do it what they're doing. It's not a method. It's not a formula. It's obedience to God's word. Knowing and understanding the ways of the Lord determines his paths and direction for us. And often, it will not be what we would have chosen to do. So the challenge that I want to leave you with this morning, and it's my challenge too, are we willing to seek and inquire of God for his way, which I know will open up new things that he wants us to do through and in this year? The key for the early church, and still for us today, is seeking our God. As we do this, Matthew 7:7 becomes ours. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Father, I just thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for what you've done this morning in just every aspect, from Lord God, the first prayer, Lord God, to the songs we sung, to the words that we heard, to Pete's communion and the children's message. Lord God, I just pray that you would continue to solidify in us your ways. And that, Lord God, that we would have not only hearts to hear and ears to hear, but hearts to obey. Lord, we just give you thanks and praise now in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.
For me, communion is a time, I just love communion because it's a time just to stop and think. Not good when you're listening to it on the podcast when you're driving the car because you can't stop and think in the middle of the road. But it's a time just to stop and think. And I want to read from Luke 22:14. You all know that verse, but I just love starting with that verse, or those verses. It says, when the hour came, Jesus and his disciples reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. Thinking, oh, we'll get a whole plate as well. For I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. So after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this, divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. And that whole remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember Jesus. Remember what he's done on the cross. Remember who you are because of him. And that's what I want to look at today quickly. And remember who you are in him. The verse I'd like, I don't know which screen it's on, but in Colossians 3:3, there it goes, everywhere. Good. You have died and your life is hidden in Christ in God. You have died and your life is hidden in Christ in God. That word hidden, I looked it up just to make sure I get it right. It's kryptu, I'm not very good at Greek, to conceal, hide or keep secret. And to me, it reminds me of having to dig to find something. If something's concealed, you've got to dig. You've got to push in to find out more. And as I was reading it, I was thinking of this little thing here. This is a dinosaur egg. Might be past its use-by date. Don't know. But this is a little dinosaur egg. And there is supposed to be a dinosaur in there. And I don't know exactly what kind of dinosaur is in there. But I have to chip away and dig deeper. And then I'll discover the hidden gem or the hidden dinosaur. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that today and release Jurassic Park into LMC. I'll just put it there. But the more I push into Jesus and the more I discover who he is and what he has done for me, the more I discover about myself and what he has released me into. I'm created. I'm just going to look through a couple of them. I'm created in the image of God, but marred by the effects of sin. But because of Jesus, my life has been released into a new relationship with him. 2 Corinthians 5:17, these should be up on there. Therefore, if any man or anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. When I remember him, I remember that in him I am a new creation. Without Jesus, I could not be a new creation. As I remember Jesus, I remember that I am not the same. A transformation has taken place, and I will live that out for the rest of my life. Whether I feel it or not, it has happened. So I don't have to look at my faults or my shortcomings. Instead, I look to Jesus. Because of him, I am that new creation. Another one I want to look at is I'm a child of God with total access to my Father in heaven because of Jesus. Couldn't do that without him either. John 1:12 says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Matthew 6:9, pray like this, our Father, hallowed be your name. I have that relationship. God is my Father. And when I think of that, probably goes back to my weird way of thinking. I always think of two boys in the schoolyard. When my dad is bigger than your dad. My dad can beat the snot out of your dad. And when the father of lies starts coming and putting us down, filling us with fear, remember that our Father, our Heavenly Father, can beat him every time, hands down, with truth, love, and grace. So I have access to this awesome Father. God is my Father. He is big. He is so big. Who can stand against him? He is my Heavenly Father. And that is because of Jesus. In him, I have my Heavenly Father. And just one more, because otherwise I could go on for ages. I am so blessed because of Jesus. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Every spiritual blessing. That's a lot. That's why I can't go through them all, Graham, sorry. And if you want to know what they are, you've got to read the New Testament, and you also got to read the Old Testament. It is full of them. You will spend a lifetime going through them. But they are all in him. That one's back to the front. There is so much more that we have in Jesus. And the more I push in and understand who Jesus is, the more of what he has done for me or for us, the more I discover who I am in him. It's all to do with Jesus. My life is hidden or concealed in him. The more I remember Jesus and what he has done, the more I walk in that. The more I become the person of God that he has called me and created me to be. As we take the bread and the wine, the bread and the grape juice, let's remember him. And if there's something going on in your life that's not right, or that you're struggling with, just remember Jesus, because he is the answer. Let's take communion. Thank you. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you that our life is hidden in you. Lord, that the more we seek you, the more we push into you, the more we understand you, the more we understand of what you have for us in our lives. The release that you have brought, the freedom that you have brought. Lord, I just thank you that whenever we have a problem, that we would remember that our answer is you, and that we would seek you, and we would see your deliverance. We would see your freedom as we walk in that every day of our lives, honoring you and bringing glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you would like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.